All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good to have friends from Casper in town. Good to see you guys. Thanks for dropping in. Well, a couple of things going on. Mostly this morning, I just want to give us a chance to kind of just pause and look up and kind of sense a bit of, you know, August and summer somewhat winds down. I don't know how you feel this time of year feels, but for me, certainly it feels like, okay, there's a couple of weeks left. We're going to start up school here soon. All of life is happening soon. Everybody knows the football season's upon us soon. All these things are changing. And do we have eyes up to see what is it that God might have for us individually? Mostly today, this morning, what I'd like to ask is, what does God have for us as a body together? What can we do together that you can't do alone? It's really hard to play a game of football all by yourself. It's really hard to be in a complete building as one brick, or to be a complete flock as one sheep. And so this morning, what I'd love for you to consider is, mostly I'm going to be running through some announcements of things coming up, but what really I'd love for you to hear is, what's the faith behind this? What's the opportunity that you have to be an integral part of that? None of these things that we're going to mention are like, this is just for you. This is just for you in your time. This is for you to belong to a family and to belong to what God, we sense, is doing in our midst, at least for this season. So first, what I wanted to do is just a quick recap from last week. We talked, oh, it's not up. Is it not working? Yeah, I just made my PowerPoint unknown. The whole thing. Could reattach it. While we're waiting for that, from last week, we talked a lot about bitterness and unforgiveness and anger. I do still have some chocolate that was left over. If you weren't here, this is really, all this is chocolate. That's all it is. So it's harmless. It's just chocolate. Encourage anybody that wants to take it, they can take it. Is that showing up? Okay. And one thing I did want to just recap or mention that I didn't get to because of time last week is when you're thinking about those places of anger, those places of unforgiveness, places of bitterness, resentment, sometimes we've just been taught and think those all just come from a place of flesh and sin. They do become fleshy and sinful as you hold on to them longer. But it's really helpful to go back to this four drawers that we've talked through a number of times and just say, where is this coming from which drawer? Maybe that it was all just born out of the flesh and you just wanting to be completely in control and you to get your own way. It's just this sinful, fleshy thing. It may be because there's this really hurt, this big hurt, this offense, this trauma that happened. And until you understand, walk through some healing, some understanding in that, some comfort from the Lord, that will be really difficult to just say, sin, stop it. Flesh, stop it. But until you resolve and address that hurt, does that make sense? Sometimes you just wake up and our flesh is really loud. It's really grabby. The one that I'd love for you to consider, sometimes we get angry in this lower right box of our lives that we hold on to. You may be angry and bitter, unforgiving, because there's a lie that's really hard for you to get rid of and to believe the truth about. And in that case, if you fully believe that lie, it's hard for you to fully believe something and within you also to fully have the ability to tell yourself to not believe that and fully persuade yourself until the authority of God, until the authority of the Spirit would speak to that. And that's where those places of TPM or other listening prayer, just letting God inform, what am I believing? And so my main point in all of this is last week we kind of went fairly quickly through this exercise of living the great commandment, releasing debts, releasing unforgiveness. It's really important to take the work and the care and the skill to say, where's that coming from? For some of those things, maybe they just drop and it's really simple, it's easy, it's done with. The longer something might hold on to it, maybe that is coming from one of these other boxes. Does that make sense? And there's different tools that we've used that have been very pretty helpful in each one of those. for helping people to walk through that. So that's just a quick addendum to last week. If you weren't here, that might not make a lot of sense. I'm happy to explain all that another time. Feel free to help yourself to some chocolate. It's delicious, isn't it? So, this morning, Lord, what do you have for us together in this call of Christ? We've been going through this idea. What are you forming in me? Each of us somewhat has an individual journey. The family that you were born into, the trials that you faced, the temperament, all of these unique expressions to you that God is forming and changing and molding. But there's also components and aspects of us together that shape us. Our culture shapes us, right? In how we expect what God would do, our imagination of what the Christian life should be. And part of what we're trying to build and be, which I applaud and I just revel in hearing so many voices singing and praying, and what we're trying to be is not this canned industrial Christian experience, but really this family of God that together is walking in a living, breathing relationship with God, that trusts him, that oftentimes it feels messy. Sometimes it feels really unkempt, but that's okay because we're walking with Jesus together. And so how is that forming you? How is that forming your family as we gather together? And a lot of this, we're going to just start with some overview, some review, that this idea of that the church is not a building. I don't know if the first time you heard that. Church is not a building. You've come to church because you've come to each other. Church is a people. And we could go gather in a park, and church is at the park. And it's a lot more obvious of those things in places where the gospel isn't widely celebrated, in other parts of the world. But in Western civilization, you go, I'm going to church. That means 122 West 29th Street. That's not the case. That's not what we're trying to build is this building. We're trying to build the spiritual building of our hearts and our faith to walk with Jesus and all that he's commanded. And this morning, what I'd just love for you to consider as we're going to walk through these things is this line of maturity that God's trying to grow us in. These things could feel like a lot of loss to you to engage with. I hope they don't, but they might. And there's places in us that still feel this subtractional thinking when it comes to following Jesus. If I walk with Jesus, it'll be loss for me. Because that football game's on. Because those kids' activities are really important. Whatever it might be. Does that mean that we shouldn't watch any football? No, that's not what I'm saying. Does that mean your kids shouldn't be involved in anything? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what is our first priority? What is our first value? What are we shaping other things around? What will you allow yourself to be shaped by more than those things? I was trying to find the research. I think the average American watches, 5 hours of football a week once the football season starts. Somehow within our schedules, we muster together 5 hours on average. Maybe you don't watch any at all. But on average, somehow we find 5 hours of time to watch in the fall football. How could we might be able to muster the things that we really value most and to make time for those things, to be available for those things, to move past subtractional thinking into transformational. And transformational thinking and living often doesn't initially feel that way. So when you talk about when Bryson shared his story of going to a pizza party that he didn't want to go to, even though he ate a lot of pizza, and hearing some of the Brower story, a lot of those stories of transformation begin with, I didn't know if I wanted to really do this. This felt uncomfortable. This didn't feel like the nice, glossy, picture-y type of thing to do. But I engaged with it, and God met me there. That was transformational. Because if God just worked in all of our expectations, then we would be God. So if we're going to get outside of that into transformational living, we're going to have to get outside of our expectations, our comfortable norm. So here's the big question I'm trying to answer this morning. How can we walk as the people of God in Loveland in the fall of 2025? I'd love for you to see these as opportunities. This isn't a to-do list. It's also not something that I'm guessing you're going to be able to do every single one of these things. Okay? So please don't hear, you know, here's the roll call and everybody's got to come to all one of these things. But what I would love for you to listen for is, God, how might I engage my faith this fall? How might I be able to muster together 5 hours, 3 hours, 10 hours, some amount of time to be available to you and your purposes with what you're doing, with this body, with this church body? Okay. Couple of guiding verses just for us as we go into this. If we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and working through love. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. So the outward appearance, in this case in Galatians, Paul's talking about circumcision, uncircumcision, your outward appearance of what you attend and what you don't attend, your kids' activities you do and don't do, your football you watch and you don't watch, whatever those things are, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And maybe you go, man, there's a football slate of games coming up. In faith, I'm going to invite others over and try to create a community of people that could gather around a game and we could talk about Jesus and maybe some other spiritual things. That might be your faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the point this morning, is the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, in all those things, do we see that we have an opportunity to do this together? 1 Corinthians 12, which we prayed this morning. As the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. There's an implication that as you come to Christ, you come to others. You come to belong, and you come to join and be formed with. Okay, so a number of things. Please see these as opportunities. So we've started this monthly men's breakfast. And this isn't something that we're going to just do into perpetuity and just say, until Jesus comes back, we're doing a monthly men's breakfast. But really just sense, Lord, it feels like you really want to get us together as men to pray, to know each other, to sharpen each other. This is a chance for us to grow our spiritual muscles. And between the generations, okay? So there's guys in here that are retired, that are near retirement, that have a whole wealth of story and experience. There are guys that right now are just right in the middle of life, in the throes of, what does this look like as I'm hitting 35, 40, young 40s? How do I continue on in what feels like a grueling middle of life type of season? There's guys that are just starting out in that journey. And between the generations, because we tend to attract towards people that are like us, I'm going to probably tend towards people who are like me, like 24 years old, and, you know, no, I'm just joking. Going to tend towards the 40s, say, what's kids like? What is that like? But I need to learn and grow, and also to speak into across the generations. Every man has something to offer that can only be done in community, that can only be done in relationship. So really what we'd like to do is, for a number of months, I don't know how many, but just have a monthly men's time to sharpen each other and to grow with each other and to say, let's eat some good food, and there to be some topic that we can try to grow through that's applicable, that's hands-on, that's hard for us to wrestle with. Part of this is we are called as men, scripturally, to unite in prayer. Specifically, God calls out the men to gather together, lifting holy hands with pure hearts, without anger or quarreling. And so there's this work that must be done as a community of men to say, can we unite together? If we can't even get together without anger and quarreling, there's a work to be done. There's a work to be done. I don't sense that, but whatever is there to work through and say, God has put us together for a purpose, in our families, in this world, in our workplace. So I just encourage you, men, I'd love for you to consider that once a month meeting is not just, let's eat some more bacon, which I love bacon, and just be together, but who might I be able to encourage? Who might I be able to sharpen? Who might I be able to learn from? Who might be a mentor to me? Who might I be able to mentor? Who might I be able to be in community with and grow as men of Beggar's Gate together in that way? Be an opportunity. Other opportunities is with what we've been doing for the last 5 years with Trail Life. mostly geared towards fathers and sons, but a lot of the families come from fatherless homes. It's an opportunity to minister to the community. And just yesterday, we went on a 14er hike with Trail Life. It's open to the whole family, so brought a couple of my daughters along. We made it up to Grace Peak. We were looking down on everybody. Not really, but figuratively. We were just seeing everybody from the high slopes of Grace Peak. And it was a great time. There's a lot of hard work that goes into climbing a mountain. Ask any of my kids how their legs feel today. And that process of doing that together in community. One of the kids looked like a mountain goat. It's just crazy. But thinking about Trail Life, is maybe you don't have kids in that age. It's geared towards boys 6 to 18. Maybe you know a family to just say, would you want to consider this? It feels as though those places are getting lost more and more. All those places are turning into virtual places. And there's so much that gets lost virtually in real relationship. So boys to just run together, build fires together, learn how to do outdoor things. This is all within the context of the gospel and faith in our church body here. So our open house is September 3rd. If you'd like to help with that, if you'd like to be a mentor, maybe you don't have boys, maybe you don't have kids, but you'd like to help mentor in that, I'd love to have you. Talk to Bryson, talk to me. We've got a women's brunch that's coming up. Again, this isn't just a time to just say, well, do I want to go have food together or not? I hope you ladies would see there's this sisterhood, there's this community that you can be a part of and know and encourage. If you've got little kids to go, there's lots of moms here that have walked through that. They understand those challenges. They can speak hope to me. They can speak encouragement. They can help my soul more than just the to-dos of how do I do this, how do I do that. And so women, I just love to encourage you just to see that time, to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to bring your faith. We're not trying to create a men's ministry and a women's ministry. What we're trying to do is have men ministering together and women ministering together. Does that make sense, the difference between those things? One is very much this is a program that you're going to be a part of. The other is, I'm part of this organic community where we're following Jesus together. Women ministering together, to me, it's a totally different conversation than women's ministry. And women, we'd love to just help you, encourage you, empower you to minister together in those ways. That's an opportunity. Another opportunity, which we've thrown out, is this class that John Myers put together called God's World, God's... Did he make it a tongue twister on purpose? God's Word, God's World. And so you might not know who John Meyer is. He's been pretty integral leader in Northern Colorado in our churches for a number of years. And he's got a real interest in just asking the question, is the history that I read in the Bible really real? Maybe put another way is sometimes you read through the book of Genesis and the way he puts it is, at what point does this get real? At which point are the people real? Is it after Genesis 3? Is it after Genesis 11? After Genesis 5, now we're talking about real people. That's the question that we're looking at, specifically related to the global flood. And so he's done a number of years of research and really cool hands-on thing. This is primarily what we're trying to do with our youth, but it's open to everybody at Beggar's Gate. It's going to be open to people that John's inviting, others in the community. He made a number of invite cards that are just out on the table. This is a huge question often with skeptics is, I don't know if I can trust the Bible. The veracity of the Bible, because it talks about things like a worldwide flood, and who's ever heard of that happening? I can't trust the word. It's got implications across many different ways in arenas. So this is going to be happening on Saturdays. What I'd love for you to think about, if you think maybe that might be something for you, maybe that'd be something that you could invite somebody to. This is going to challenge you. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? And there might be questions that you still have about the word or about how God's delivered that through history with a flood, I'm really excited to go through this. And at the end, we're going to go through a trip to Moab and kind of see some hands-on learning of where do we see those evidences of a worldwide flood. Open mostly, we're trying to do this with the youth, but really, love to open up to anybody. If those questions have ever gone around in your head, I'd love to encourage you to come. These are out on the table. Feel free to take one or two, invite others, maybe just for your own schedule keeping. Again, please just see these as opportunities, okay? I just want us to lift our eyes up. As you're making plans, as you're thinking a month, 2 months in advance, where does God, together as the people of God, want you to consider to be involved, to participate? In October, we're going to be doing a one-day marriage workshop with Michael and Claudia Hendricks. And so they came in. If you guys remember, we did the Build a Brain that Sunday. We were all up, and there are three people saying good, bad, scary a lot, and we went through that. So they've got a number of skills and tools that we've been working through. A number of us went through their training last fall, and we just thought, we really think these tools and skills could be really, really helpful within marriages. And what if marriages, what if husbands and wives really saw their primary role as delighting in one another, bringing relational joy to one another? That seems pretty close to the heart of what that covenant relationship is meant for, to cherish, to have and to hold. And so they're going to be training us in a number of those skills. It's going to be workshop. It's not going to be, I'm going to talk to you all day and just do a lot of theological study. It's going to be, you go practice and work this exercise, come back, how did that go? Okay, so that's going to be the tone and the tenor of that time. But that's going to be in Greeley. Where's the faith? What might be behind that, besides just going to another event, besides just going to another thing? Does relational joy excite you? It really excites me. It excites me to think about how I can build deep delight in my kids, my wife, my family, my neighborhood, this church body. What God created us for, connection and deep knowing and care, I'd like to get really good at that. If I could become an expert at certain things in life, could I become an expert at that, Lord? That seems pretty important to the human existence and what he's called us to. That's what's exciting to me. So that's going to be coming down the pipe Saturday, October 11th. We're still figuring out the cost. It'll probably be like $25 or $30 a couple, which will cover your lunch and a couple other odds and ends to it. But that's not official yet as far as the final amount. That sign up will come out soon. Just love for you to consider as a couple, would you want to invest in relational joy, in delighting in one another more? This is going to be with our whole Front Range churches, with guys at Summit View and Parker and Denver and Greeley, all those other churches, okay? Okay, couple last ones to look at. We've been talking about this Kintsugi workshop. I made a number of these invite cards as well. This is really intended more as an outreach, trying to help bring the gospel in creative ways. And Kintsugi is the Japanese pottery art form of restoring tea bowls. I think they open it up to all sorts of different kinds of ceramics, but initially it was just for their tea bowls to be repaired after they broke using gold. And so in the process of restoration, something becomes more valuable. And it's this great metaphor for what the gospel does in our life, what Jesus is in the process of doing. And so artist named Kurt Caddy, who reached out to us, he lives in Missouri, he just really senses as an artist, I really want to bring really good art and the gospel together. That's his heart, as I've talked with him on the phone a bunch. And so he does a number of these Kintsugi workshops. And so we just thought, Lord, we just want to put the line out there. Maybe there be others that want to respond to Jesus with a more hands-on understanding of what that looks like. And so he's going to be coming October 18th. It's going to be free. I know there's some questions about what that's going to cost. So it's going to be free. And primary audience, we'd love for you to consider. I think I could get a lot of things out of this for sure, personally. My mindset personally for me is there's people on my street that I know that would want to come to this, that I'm going to be inviting. So to view this as an outreach opportunity, view this as an opportunity to love others and to present the gospel in a winsome way, a way that maybe they've never heard before. And so these are out on the table as well if you'd like to take a couple cards to invite people. Okay, last thing, just to lift our eyes up, and this was already the plug that Ryan and Michelle already gave, is this class perspectives. And a number of us are already helping to bring this to Beggar's Gate for next spring. But if you haven't heard of perspectives, I just love for you to consider, this is a 15-week class. We would love to remove as many obstacles to you going through this as possible. We will pay half of your registration cost as a church body to go through this. We believe in this so much. Who in here has taken perspectives before? It's really a big part of our DNA as a church body in understanding why we have folks like Ryan and Michelle come and share, why we do debriefings, why we do a lot of the things in our body life probably won't make sense until you go through perspectives. It's going to be hard to place. And a lot of what we're trying to be and live into as an expression of God's heart for the nations really gets displayed well through this class perspectives. And so that's going to be in the spring. It's going to be starting in January. It's a 15-week course. Again, 15 weeks, 3 hours a week with homework. Who does that in America? I'd hope you consider maybe you might. I might consider that is a big part of your training and equipping to think as a world Christian, somebody who sees the world through Jesus' eyes, who says, when that headline comes out, what does Jesus think about what's going on there? How does he think about that event? What does he think about what's going on globally? It's a class that's been running for over 50 years. Just some stats, over 200 classes a year, 7,000 graduates every year. And so really trying to build you, you're going to walk away studying the word. You're going to walk away studying what God has done through history. So much of evangelicalism today, I think, is just a lack of understanding, where have we been before? What have we already tried for hundreds of years that didn't work? And might we want to just say, could we learn some history from folks that did this 300, 400, 500 years ago in really compelling ways? You're going to learn some cultural things and some strategic things as well, different perspectives of what God's doing. So as you look at all of that, I don't know, what do you hear? You hear, man, Nathan just gave me a lot of things that I feel like I have to do. Please don't hear that. These are opportunities for your faith, for my faith, for us to do this together. The opportunity is to do this together, to do the flood class together, to be at a men's breakfast together. And all the things that you can do individually, which you can do a lot of, but there's a lot you can't do without the body of Christ, without others, without the generations, without the different maturity levels rubbing on and sharpening each other. So would you consider, just as you hold out your calendar and we sang the words, this world has nothing for me, I will follow you. Those were the words I sang. Would that extend to your time? Would that extend to your money in what activities you prioritize? Would it reach that deep into your heart? You're not going to be able to do all of this, I'm guessing. But as you just hold those hands out and say, Lord, this world has nothing for me, I will follow you. What might that look like for you and for your family these next couple months? And to consider that, bring faith to that. The only thing that does count for you, the only thing that counts for Dennis, for any of us, is faith expressing itself through love. That was what will count at the end of your life, is your faith expressing itself through love. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all these opportunities in front of us. Thank you that you aren't just putting us through a regimen blindly, aimlessly. You're training us towards a purpose of being followers and disciples of you, being more filled with the knowledge of you. I pray, Lord, that you would give each of us discernment, wisdom, faith as we think about our schedules, as we think about the coming months, as we think about as a church body uniting together into these different areas, Lord. And pray that you wouldn't help us to, not be overwhelmed or in this place of fear, but in a place of faith, a place that says, Jesus, my life is yours. I want to follow you. And I want to give more than just my voice in a song. I want to give my calories. I want to give my minutes and seconds. I want to give everything I have into your hands. And from that place, Jesus, I thank you that you've promised us good. You've promised us to work all things for good. So we just rest in your promises. We rest in your word. Thank you for this morning. Pray for the Browers, Lord. We pray that you would bring their support financially, in prayer, and in coaching, in all the different ways, and that you would send them with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, please feel free for some chocolate.